Okay, let's go ahead and get started. So I don't see a whole bunch of people outside. Oh, now of course they start coming in.
It was the sound of your voice too.
Siren calling. So good morning, everyone. My name is Justin Gibbs. I'm the founder of the FreeBSD Foundation and its current president. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about FreeBSD, the FreeBSD Foundation, how the two work together, and a little bit about how the project works and how we try to help the project work better. So what is FreeBSD? FreeBSD is a whole bunch of things. It's really a pyramid of things built on the basic philosophy that came from the heritage of BSD, our licensing, the concept of creating free software that is widely available, widely reusable, and then a community of people who develop on that software and make it possible, and then the technology, which is the part that people talk about in things like the FreeBSD Journal and the things that people use to make their products. But for some reason, my slide build is gone. That's unfortunate. So what happens when you... Oh, it's over here. Got it. Okay, never mind.
User error?
Yeah, it could very well be. It's the problem with not getting enough sleep during these conferences. There's just so much going on. What I will do is I will do this. I will adapt. So who is the FreeBSD Foundation? Who are we? We're a 501c3 nonprofit that was founded in 2000. So we're coming up on our 15-year anniversary, actually. We have a board of directors, many of which are here. And when you want to talk about things with the FreeBSD Foundation, be sure to seek them out. We'd be happy to talk to you about just about any topic, even those related to FreeBSD. Staff-wise, the FreeBSD Foundation has changed a lot in the last 18 months or so. Deb Goodkin, who is unfortunately not able to be here today, is our basically executive director, basically the person who makes all of the things go, the chief cat herder and the glue. She's working for us three-quarter time, and gosh, she's been working for us since 2006, or something like that. I probably got that number wrong. Sorry, Deb. I apologize. Ed Mast, who didn't make it into the room yet, but you'll see him around. He's basically a project manager for us, working half-time, making sure that not only the things that we do with our full-time technical staff, but also external projects that people come to us and ask for grants and things like that, that all those projects get managed properly and come to completion and are performed to the expectation of the contract. Caustic, was our first full-time technical staff member, added about 18 months ago now. Edward, also a full-time technical staff. So Caustic works on VM subsystem, GEM and KMS drivers for Intel hardware, all kinds of random kernel stuff. Edward, iSCSI, auto mounter, some security stuff. But essentially the concept behind having those two technical staff members is that we can do smaller projects without having the overhead of finding a resource, writing the contract, going through legal, negotiation, all that kind of stuff. So it's actually allowed us to be a lot more nimble in being able to take on and fill holes that we see in the FreeBSD development towards a release or towards a particular goal the project has. Glenn Barber. You haven't quite hit a year yet, right?
No.
Yeah. Close. Yep, almost a year now. Glenn, on the administrative side, the release engineering side, jack of all trades, really facilitating making sure that FreeBSD has regular release cycles and that we can meet our commitments to the community as far as our release cycles. So that's cluster admin, release engineering, some security team stuff. I don't know. He does amazing stuff all over the place. I can never keep track. I'm surprised. I think he never sleeps. And then we have an administrative assistant that's working behind the scenes. You don't get to see them very often. basically doing stuff like HR administration, donation processing, all that kind of stuff. And then as we work on marketing and things like that, we've been kind of more flexible there. We haven't found a part-time person that we can kind of employ to do marketing. So that's kind of on a contract basis. Same thing with our website development. But we are a financially stable company, coming up on 15 years now. All of our financial data is published on our website. So we try to be an open company so people understand transparently what we do, how we do it, how we fund it. And that is definitely part of who we are. Our board also, it has worldwide representation because the project really is a global project. So you'll see that in the representation of on our board. I mean, we have Asia Pacific, we have North America, we have Europe. We haven't gotten into South America yet, but we'll probably get there at some point. So what is the FreeBSD Foundation's role when it comes to the project? Well, there's a technology part. We fund research and development on FreeBSD. We also facilitate in tech transfer from people who've already developed things on FreeBSD, but maybe they haven't figured out how to upstream them yet or what the right way is to get them into the project. And then we also facilitate the development of new project infrastructure. We buy hardware. We negotiate contracts with colocation services. We pay for power. Those kinds of things, the nuts and bolts behind the infrastructure required for the project to be able to do what it does. On the community front, we sponsor events just like this. We provide travel grants for people who work within the FreeBSD community. And just to point out, the travel grants, I think this is something that we haven't promoted well enough so far. When people come to us for travel grants, they're always talking in terms of, I want to go to BSDCon, or you're a BSDCon, or maybe Meet BSD, or some other BSD-centric event. We provide travel grants for all kinds of events that allow us to promote FreeBSD, FreeBSD technology, and oftentimes it is very valuable to the community to have people attend conferences outside of our kind of close-knit community to be able to get the word out about what FreeBSD is, why it's relevant, and why you should use it. So if you fall into that category and you want to go to some different conference, talk about FreeBSD-style stuff, you should definitely come and talk to us. This next bullet, the academic corporate community collaboration, that's another aspect of making sure that folks who maybe have just seen the FreeBSD website or have heard about FreeBSD and are thinking about using FreeBSD either for research or in a commercial product, they really understand how the project works, what technology is available, how it's supported, what vendors support it, all of those kinds of things. And that's really a lot of face-to-face meetings typically with people who are interested in FreeBSD or might already be using FreeBSD to go over those kinds of those kind of details. And then the paid staff to supplement and support the project and fill in those holes that might not otherwise get developed by a full volunteer staff for FreeBSD. So let's see. Oh, and lastly, on the philosophy standpoint, legal support. This is IP protection. This is legal support, dealing with licensing disputes, copyright disputes, coming up with, one thing that came up during the developer summit was talking about our current license and whether it needs to be modernized at all in terms of the current legal framework. Those kinds of things are things that the FreeBSD Foundation is able to do as a legal corporate entity. Okay, back to my building slide. And hopefully it will build. So FreeBSD really is these three things. And in the previous slide, I talked about how the FreeBSD Foundation is supporting each of those three things. But for the majority of people who discover FreeBSD or even start using FreeBSD, they're really focused on that top piece. What can I get out of FreeBSD? What's in the box? Does it support this hardware? Does it have these SMP features or networking features and things like that? But to be able to get to that point, we have to support everything that's below it. And just like an iceberg, all that stuff may be hidden at first. When you first come and see FreeBSD, But they really are required in order to get that top piece. And it takes an amazing group of people to do this. So who are the people who make this happen? So it's actually several different teams. It's not just the people who are kernel hackers or even source hackers and things like that. So it really requires infrastructure as cluster admin, making sure that all of our co-located machines around the world are up and running and providing the services necessary for the development of the project. Security teams, security vulnerabilities, managing incoming security concerns, and basically communicating that well to both the community and also our downstream consumers. Release engineering, making sure that the product actually gets packaged and delivered in a way that can be used. Ports management, that's all third-party software, and making sure that all runs on FreeBSD, and trying to keep up with it, as all these different third-party pieces of software have different release cycles and new versions that come out, or maybe their own security disclosures and things like that that require us to rev our packages quickly. Doc committers. One thing that oftentimes separates BSD from other operating systems is just the focus on documentation and making sure the whole system is not only technically capable but understandable and can be taught to somebody. And when you type man, you get something sensible there. Plus the handbook, plus our website content, just all kinds of things that come out of the doc group. Source committers, probably the area that people are most familiar with because they come in and they see the technology. That's kernel development, the complete system. So we have a almost completely BSD licensed toolchain now. Anything from the editor to the compiler to LS and bincat, all that kind of stuff. And then the actual ports committers. So ports management is about actually taking the, I can't even remember how many thousand third-party ports and making sure that we can build them and track them and handle bugs for them and all that kind of stuff. And then ports committers, the people that actually sign up for a particular piece of third-party software and will make sure that it's up to date and working well on FreeBSD. So all of these people need help. So from our perspective, community support really means providing continuity and project infrastructure, management and releases, growing our community, making sure that there are more people that come into this as, you know, individuals may move on. They may get burned out. So really bringing people into the project, making sure that all the people that are community that are in our community working on FreeBSD have the resources they need, and then promoting what we do externally so that more people find FreeBSD, more people use FreeBSD, more people enjoy FreeBSD. So our community support really is the engine that allows FreeBSD to be innovative. This is how we get to new features, new releases, new capabilities. And it also means as we grow our community that hardware vendors, software vendors discover FreeBSD, understand the demand for FreeBSD, and help support FreeBSD in their products and services. So the main thing is to understand that the technology is only possible because of the people. And that's really at the heart of what the FreeBSD Foundation is trying to do. The technology is the end goal, but the means to the end is what we focus on. So what is the free software lifecycle? It's really these three things. As a downstream consumer of FreeBSD, well, you consume. It's probably where you enter the lifecycle. Because that's the easiest thing to do. You download an ISO, you install it on your computer. Maybe you happen to win in a raffle one of these really nice APU2s with a nicely laser-etched logo on it. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. So you start by consuming. You build a product, you build a service, you're flight aware, right? And you consume on it. And then you create, you enhance your product or you build your product, make it something amazing. And then you make money off your product. And then hopefully, where it makes sense, because the license doesn't obligate you to do this in any way, you also contribute back to the community But many people miss the point that this is really a cycle. And so I actually drew this as an arrow, a loop all the way around. Because if you break it at any point, then it removes your ability to consume and then create and then profit. And we've actually seen cases where downstream consumers of FreeBSD have kind of isolated themselves from the community in the sense of taking a snapshot of FreeBSD, FreeBSD 7, 4.6, or what have you. They're amazing innovators. They create an outstanding product or service. They make a lot of money, but then they find out that the world has moved on since when they took their snapshot of FreeBSD. A classic case was, you know, going from FreeBSD 4 to FreeBSD 5, 6, 7, where the project invested heavily in S&P. And there were a whole bunch of FreeBSD consumers who were way behind that curve because they weren't integrated with the community and able to take advantage of the technology the community was developing in parallel with their own development of new innovative technology for their product or service. And that's something that, because we've seen the pain that those companies go through, we really try to educate them about this process. Because there's nothing worse than finding out that it'll take you 8 or 10 man years to forklift upgrade your product to a new version of FreeBSD. And during the time that you did that, FreeBSD moved again. And so you end up in this cycle where it's forklift upgrade, you know, huge investment in terms of internal resources and money just to do it again and again and again. So we really try to advocate a strategy that allows companies to innovate on their own terms, for sure, but to get them integrated into the community in a way that they're aware of what we're doing in the community, that they understand the tools that are available to them in order to stay current and understand what's, and to be able to take in new technology and new features of the operating system as they develop their own stuff. So let's talk a little bit about the FreeBSD Foundation's strategy for 2014. Last year, our goal was to raise $1 million. We didn't quite do that. So our goal again this year is to raise $1 million. That will look like about $500,000 in funded development work and $100,000 in project infrastructure. So that's hardware, that's power, that's co-location space, et cetera. We'll also be doing a lot of road trips this year. We're still looking for people to talk to on both the East and West Coast. And so if you're interested in talking to the FreeBSD Foundation about how we collaborate with downstream consumers, how the project collaborates with downstream consumers of FreeBSD, or how the project works in general, or how to become a committer, how to communicate with vendors so that we can aggregate the demand for FreeBSD support for hardware or software, all of those topics are things that we'd love to talk to you about. On the marketing side, I'm really, really pleased with what we've been able to do with the FreeBSD Journal. Hopefully all of you got a copy of the first edition of the FreeBSD Journal while here at BSDCAN. It is primarily a digital edition. That's to reduce our costs in developing it and things like that. We already have over 1,500 subscribers for it. We need to about triple that to be able to break even. But our goal is not so much in terms of a revenue stream for the foundation. This is about making sure that high quality technical information about FreeBSD is out there, right? And I think we've really achieved that. If you look at the quality of the content in that and the way it's produced, it's been an amazing, amazing achievement. And that was really, you know, George Neville Neal just taking and running with that. So you'll also see the dynamic edition, I think is what they call it. Right now it's available as an app on your smartphone or tablet, but there's also an edition that will be available, I think, either later this week or early next week, where you can just go on a website and be able to subscribe to that and browse it there. We're still working on a website refresh for the FreeBSD Foundation. We're very close. We were hoping to have our homepage done by this presentation, but we're not quite there. It's the problem with a volunteer board. We're kind of busy. But we're really, really close. But this is another thing where when people come and see the FreeBSD project or the FreeBSD Foundation, we don't want them to go, gosh, that is so last decade. And really from a marketing standpoint, that is what the experience is right now with our website properties. And it's a terrible state to be in, because we get so many hits on those pages. There are so many people who are interested in FreeBSD. And we want to make sure that they understand, as we already know, that our community is alive, vibrant, innovative, doing amazing work. But we have to be able to communicate that in a way that, you know, today's generation can understand. So definitely this will be the year that the FreeBSD Foundation website will be relaunched, and then we'll be working with the doc team and the rest of the FreeBSD project to try to bring those innovations into our website for the FreeBSD project and try to better promote FreeBSD there. We're also working on other printed collateral besides the journal. This is for folks who want to go and talk to their own management on their own. Maybe they're in a location or we're just not able to get there to be able to have a face-to-face meeting. But this is so that you can communicate the same stories that we would try to communicate in a personal visit on your own. So how are we able to do this? Well, here's the financial data basically for the entire history of the FreeBSD Foundation. So we started it in 2000 with a small infusion of cash from the founders. There were three of us. And over time, we've basically been able to grow our revenue, which is all based on donations from individuals and corporations. Our goal, which is the dashed line at the end, is basically to raise $1 million this year. We did raise our budget up to 900K. That's just in case we don't quite meet 100 million. But our goal is basically to spend what we raise. We have a cushion available. We came through the financial downturn of 2008 just fine, because we are very careful about how we spend our money. So we're gonna be here for a long time. But we really do need the support of individuals and corporations to be able to do the work that we do. So this is the FreeBSD Foundation project roadmap. And our goal with every time that we make this presentation is to make the font smaller. Yes, so we want more stuff on here. But just a few things that I can highlight on here that I think are really kind of cool. Just about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, iSCSI and FreeBSD was kind of a hodgepodge of hacks and poor performance and all that kind of stuff. And that was a case where the FreeBSD Foundation stepped in and said, we need iSCSI initiator and target mode in kernel with reasonable performance and widely tested against a whole bunch of other initiators and targets. And so by having a member of our paid technical staff take care of that, we are pretty much at that goal right now. So 10.0 released with iSCSI target and initiator. There were a few things that didn't quite make it into 10.0, but 10.1 will be even better. So we continue to improve that support, and that was basically done with Edward's work on iSCSI. We've also talked with several people who build products on FreeBSD and have been disappointed with the auto mounter support with NFS. And so that's another case where Edward is coming in and providing AutoFS, auto mount support, and improving that in FreeBSD. He's at a point now where it's pretty close. Most of the things that are missing are around authentication and stuff like that. So he's working on LDAP and NIS and all those pieces. He has all the right hooks for it, but it's just a matter of, you know, finishing the development, testing it, making sure that it goes out to a wider beta, and then that will get into FreeBSD as well. There's also UEFI support, which is becoming more and more important every day. So Ed Mast, who not only does project management, but also does technical development for the FreeBSD Foundation, he's really spearheading the UEFI boot support based on Ben O'Rice's initial support that was done on a FreeBSD Foundation contract. So we'll get UEFI boot support into the tree and working well probably in the next month or two, and then we have to work on secure boot. Secure boot with UEFI is a moving landscape, depending on what Microsoft decides to do in terms of what they will sign and what criteria you have to meet before they will sign things like your bootloader. This will probably mean that we have to have not only a signed bootloader, but a signed kernel, and perhaps even other components in the boot chain. So we're still navigating that. We have contacts with Microsoft to figure out how to do that. And then we will continue to develop that software, because it'll become a requirement pretty soon on a lot of hardware that you can purchase. Our main three goals, though, for say the next 12 to 18 months, are really focused around security, performance, and developer tools. So the stuff that we develop as a project, and this same mindset has been true since I started dabbling with FreeBSD in 93, is to come up with complete solutions, right? The 100% solution that has all the documentation that just works, that the command line arguments are consistent with all the other tools, that there are examples that you can use to take that tool and turn it into something more, or build your product out of it. So the promise that the FreeBSD Foundation makes is that when we support something, we're going to take it to its end, right? And make it consistent with the way that FreeBSD develops software. So that means all of the documentation, making sure that it's integrated well into a receipt, into a release, that it's approachable by users, and it's also publicized, right, as a new feature and capability of FreeBSD. So we covered most of this material before, basically how the FreeBSD Foundation has grown. Prior to this last 18 months, the FreeBSD Foundation really had one paid staff member. That was Deb Goodkin, our executive director. And because of our ability to fundraise and because of our careful management during the financial downturn, we were basically able to take this fairly large step function jump in terms of our capabilities, bringing in Glenn, Edward, and Caustic, and Ed. And really, by having paid staff, we basically have the capability now to have constant attention to the things that the FreeBSD Foundation does. Before, it was really based on having a diverse and very active board, which we still do have, but we had to rely on them having spare time and cycles to be able to push these things through. So this really has accelerated. I mean, I probably jumped or dropped 2 or 3 point sizes this year on that slide. And that's all because of having just a little bit of paid staff to be able to accelerate and manage all the things that we do on the technical side and the release engineering side and the infrastructure side. So we will continue to do that, follow that path, but it will probably shift more towards marketing first before we invest again on the technical side. Because that's something that as technocrats, we don't do very well. You know, it's not like while you're at the coffee shop, you're like, hey, have you used FreeBSD? It's amazing, right? We seem to be, you know, most of us are fairly introverted and we love what we do and we do it because it's cool for us. If it's cool for somebody else, well, that's great. But we're not so good at promoting just the amazing stuff that we do. And it is amazing stuff. So you'll see more of that once we get through the foundation website refresh and we start working on the FreeBSD project website refresh. I think you'll just see that accelerate as we are able to identify resources that we can contract or hire to be able to make that a reality. So a quick shout out to all the people who have been funding us. It's a growing list of companies. I get to add, you know, several new logos every time that I bring up this slide, which is great. We're at about 217K out of our $1 million goal so far this year. And the prospects look good. So hopefully we'll get to that $1 million. We're working really hard on that. Fundraising is, you know, as a technocrat, right, I like to write code. I'll do marketing because I have to. And then there's fundraising, right? It's much easier to promote FreeBSD and talk about how cool it is than to say, oh, and can you write a check? But we are working on that as well. But it definitely is, an unfortunate but necessary part of what is required for us to be able to do the work that we do. So thank you to all the sponsors and all of the individuals who contributed to the FreeBSD Foundation over the years. You're really what has made it possible for us to do what we do. So what can you do after seeing this presentation? Well, you can become a contributor. And if you don't know how to become a contributor, come talk to me or any of the people in this room, and we'll figure out how we can get what you do, whether it's source code, documentation, marketing anyone? Graphic design, right? Writing blog entries about your experience with FreeBSD or how you make your product, testimonials, all those kinds of things are important for pushing the project forward. You can become a donor. I even have some nice items at my table, and the raffle of that NetGate APU2 laser etched commemorative edition NetGate appliance. You can also tell your friends why our community is amazing and why they should be part of our community, how it's different from other communities that you've been involved with. Growing our community is really the best thing that are the largest part of how we make sure that FreeBSD is successful in the future. And you're gonna buy some of my swag for sure, right, as you become a donor. Questions?
So, go ahead. Have you thought about trying to build an endowment instead of necessarily just spending what you get as you get it?
Right, so if I go back to this slide here, you'll see that there's some air between here. So we don't have an official endowment, but we do have our buffer. And I haven't looked at it recently, but it's probably close to $1 million. And that's basically how we were able to budget carefully and stuff like that. The last couple years though, because our buffer is big enough, we've been able to spend in advance of raising money, which has been a nice position to be in. It's still not a huge amount of money. Our budget is going to be about $900K this year, right? So our buffer is about 1 year-ish. If you want to help us start an endowment, I'd be happy to talk to you after this talk. That's right. U.S. dollars preferred.
So the significant increase in corporate or commercial contributions in recent years, for example, from 2011 to 12, that just reflects the increased use and importance of FreeBSD to these corporations?
The funny thing is that FreeBSD has been important to them typically for a decade, sometimes longer. But as a community, we've been less successful in actually communicating to those folks about what would help the community, right? What would make FreeBSD better the next time they decide to consume some of our technology? And it's really through those kinds of conversations that the donation level has gone up. And every year we find people who have been using FreeBSD for years and years and years and didn't know about BSD CAN, didn't know how to become a committer, didn't know how to contribute back. You have a foundation? Really? Well, we make X billions of dollars. Would you like some of that? I mean, oftentimes it's really like that. And so when I look at this graph, I think it's really limited by the bandwidth of our community and the foundation board to find these people, talk with them, explain what we do, what kinds of how their support impacts our community and the project, and really make that case. If I were to look at some of these here, FreeBSD has been a tremendous driver of capital. So last year, for instance, LineRate. LineRate does software-defined networking. They were acquired by F5 Networks, right? It was one of the largest seed companies that came out of CU Boulder. And so they were very generous. We didn't know anything about them until they came and talked to us. They're like, FreeBSD is amazing. You made this all possible. Can we give you some money? That was great.
That's a great conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, that was a case where the people who helped make LineRate possible, the venture capitalists and things like that, understood that the fundamental framework, the platform of FreeBSD really did make that product possible and lucrative within the short time frame that it took, because they were not around for very long. before that happened. You got WhatsApp, right? $19 billion? They all run FreeBSD. And Juniper and Ironport and, you know, NetApp and a tremendous driver of capital. So the question really becomes making sure that they understand how they can help and that it, and being able to show them that when they do contribute, that it actually turns into something tangible.
Is there any initiative to quantify the addressable market and who is actually using FreeBSD?
That sounds like a marketing question. You wanted to help us with marketing, right?
I do. Because I think that would be tremendously helpful. I think that nobody wants to be the first guy, and I don't think a lot of people know that places like Netflix are using FreeBSD, and they're a third of the internet traffic.
Yep. And Limelight, another, the second largest CDN, also FreeBSD.
Far easier to go to your employer and say, I want to use this, and look at all the big names and the great folks that are using it.
Yes.
Then we don't really know who's using it, because it's free and it's out there floating around.
Right. So one thing that the FreeBSD Foundation board talked about during its meeting here before the conference started was what kind of metrics can we, what tools do we have available to us to try to measure that? In the past, it was mostly done in terms of downloads of FreeBSD, but that's very nebulous, right? I downloaded one copy of FreeBSD and I installed it 10,000, you know, 1U servers or something like that in my data center. And you know, it's just a very fungible number, you know. We have a list of several different types of data collection avenues for us, some of which are better than others. Definitely, if we can show that our user base is growing, that's, you know, subscriptions to the journal, it's donors, it's also being able to highlight with testimonials all the cool companies that are doing this kind of stuff. We're talking about doing a built on FreeBSD campaign so that those companies can actually, although it won't be, you know, right up there with their big brand that they're trying to promote, you know, that's their bread and butter right there. But when you find out, you know, how they work and stuff like that, that logo will be there and people will be able to find out about it. It's still a work in progress, though. So definitely if you have ideas on how we can better try to measure our market, I'm all ears. Other questions? No? Excellent. Well, thank you.